Go.
I love unicorns again. So it's just dragon and ranger. Ah! Da, da, da.
Dad, I just read something that made me kind of sad. It's about this thing called jamais vu.
Oh, you mean like deja vu? Is that what you're talking about, Clementine?
No, it's like the opposite of deja vu, you know, when something feels familiar, but also kind of strange. So deja vu is like a window into our memory, and it happens when our brain gets a bit confused.
Oh, you know, I'm a little confused myself, Clementine, because I believe the show is a news show, right? It's April 2024, we're giving news for kids.
Yes. I know, but sometimes we talk about little interesting articles.
Yes. Okay, go on. This is jamais vu. I guess jamais is never, right? Never saw before or something. Yes.
It's even weirder. It's when something we know well suddenly feels unreal or new. Imagine looking at a familiar face and feeling like you don't recognize it. Or hearing a familiar song and feeling lost in it. It's like your brain's playing a trick on you.
Yeah, so these scientists did an experiment where people had to write the same word over and over. After a while, about 70% of them stopped because things started feeling strange, like the word lost its meaning. One person said it felt like someone tricked them into thinking the word was real.
Yes, and what's sadder is that the scientists took 15 years to figure this out. They realized someone had already done a similar thing in 1907. They kind of reinvented the wheel. But what they found out is that jamais vu is like a signal telling us that things are getting too automatic and repetitive in our brains.
I guess it's just a reminder that our brains need a shake-up sometimes to stay flexible. And they got a Nobel Prize for this, which is like a funny science award.
I think you mean an Ig Nobel Prize.
Yes, an Ig Nobel Prize. Sorry, it's like a funny science award. Maybe their work will inspire more research and help us understand our brains better.
It's a bit sad, but also kind of interesting, no?
Okay, so I'm going to tell some news about TikTok. This is a little strange for us, I think. Came across this wild story about folks losing their jobs and filming it on TikTok. Yep, you heard it right. So they're getting laid off. Instead of keeping it on the down low, they're sharing it with the whole world.
Yeah, so take Fulashad Adbunjo. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. A gal from Los Angeles. She made a TikTok video where she's all serious at her desk, getting ready for the boot from a big tech company. The video got 500,000 views. Can you believe it? She said she wanted to be honest about the not-so-glamorous parts of life. Brave move, I reckon.
Yes, it's not just her. Lots of folks are doing it. Crying, talking to HR, or just going about their day, knowing they're about to get the axe. It's like reality TV, but real life and on TikTok.
Now, why would they do that? I don't understand.
Well, some say it's like therapy for them, like helping them deal with the emotions of losing a job. And others are calling out their companies, spilling the beans on social media. Remote work, they say, made folks more vocal online.
Can't argue with that.
Even the big bosses are jumping in. The CEO of Cloudflare responded to a TikTok firing video saying that they should have been kinder. And guess what? The lady who posted it got a bunch of job offers.
But hold your horses. They're also saying it might not all be sunshine and rainbows. While it might not hurt their careers, these folks need to be ready for the spotlight.
Yep, so there you have it. People losing their jobs, filming it, and sharing it like it's the latest show in town. Stay tuned, y'all.
All right, so I'm going to tell everyone about Amelia Earhart. You know, she's a pioneering woman, or she was, and her plane went down a long time ago, and it's been lost, and it's very sad.
Yes. So what do you have to tell us there, Jarvis?
Well, gather around for some juicy news, okay? So get this. A fellow named Tony Romeo, the big shot at Deep Sea Vision, claims they found her long-lost plane at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Talk about drama.
Yes, so picture this. A sonar image, mysterious and glamorous, shows a plane about 3 miles down, somewhere near Howland Island.
Now, Tony believes it's Earhart's plane because it's got those two fancy fin stabilizers and the size matches her sleek twin-engine Lockheed. Oh, the suspense.
Yeah, so Tony and his 16-member crew stumbled upon this revelation after scanning a whopping 5,200 square miles of the ocean floor. Can you believe it? They were on the brink of giving up when, bam, there it was, the holy grail of aviation mysteries.
Yes, but my dears, the plot thickens. Archaeologists, those skeptics, are giving Tony the side eye. They're saying, hold your horses, honey. We need more proof. To confirm it's the real deal, they want more sonar images and a snazzy underwater camera to check for serial numbers or markings. All the drama.
Yeah, now Tony Romeo plans to strut back down there sometime in the future and take underwater videos of the site. He's hoping it will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's Amelia's plane. Registration number NR16020 and all. Lights, camera, action.
Oh, the excitement. No, I'm not being sarcastic. Oh, the excitement. Amelia Earhart's disappearance has been a mystery for over 80 years. And here's Tony Romeo, the hero, trying to unveil the truth. Will it be as glamorous as her solo flights? Only time will tell. Stay tuned for the next episode of Amelia's Ocean Adventure. Oh, it's so sad. There's this tribe in South Dakota, the Oglala Sioux tribe, and they've banned Governor Kristi Noem from the reservation.
But do you know why?
No.
It's because she talked about an invasion at the U.S.-Mexico border and said she might send razor wire and security folks there. The tribe's president, Frank Starr, comes out. Didn't like that at all.
By the way, you said Frank Starr comes out. That's actually his name, right? The whole name is Frank Starr comes out.
Yes. And he didn't like it at all, so he wrote a 4-page letter saying that Governor Kristi Noem is banished from their lands for the safety of the Oyate. It seems like they've had issues before, because back in 2019, they said she wasn't welcome because of her support for the Keystone XL pipeline. It's all just really, really sad.
Hey, guess what? It's sad news. You know, we talk about people when they pass away, and today we're talking about this very famous name, William Bill Post. William Bill Post. He's the guy who came up with Pop-Tarts. You know, those toaster pastries that magically appear at your breakfast. Well, he kicked the bucket at the ripe old age of 96. Yeah, we're talking about William Bill Post from Michigan.
Yes. I don't think it's respectful to say kick the bucket. I think we should say, like, it passed away or something like that.
Yes. I apologize. I think you're right about that.
Yes. So Bill just wasn't some kind of Pop-Tart wizard. He grew up in Grand Rapids with a bunch of siblings. He did the whole high school thing at Grand Rapids Christian and even had a gig washing trucks at a place that eventually became Keebler. Fancy, right?
Then he joined the Army Air Corps, went to Japan, and married his high school sweetheart, Florence. Sweet, right? After that, he worked at Keebler again, went to college, and by the time he was 21, he was the big shot in charge of people and stuff at Keebler. Fast forward a bit, and Bill became the brain behind bringing Pop-Tarts to life. He didn't just make them himself. Gathered a cool team to make Kellogg's dream of a toaster pastry a reality. It only took them 4 months. Then Kellogg's bought Keebler and Pop-Tarts became a breakfast legend.
Yes, Bill was so famous for Pop-Tarts that he talked to kids about them. He did interviews, spoke on TV and radio, and even went to classrooms to share the Pop-Tart story. And get this, he'd bring Pop-Tarts with him. Like, how awesome is that?
When he was 56, Bill said, "I'm done working," and retired to Michigan. But guess what? He kept helping out at Kellogg's for 20 more years as a consultant. That's like being a Pop-Tart guru. Bill just wasn't a Pop-Tart pro. He was a good guy, too. He helped out his community, serving on boards for schools, churches, the YMCA, and even Gideon's International for a whopping 60 years.
Yes, Gideon's. They give us the Bible in hotels.
Yes.
His wife, Florence, passed away in 2020, but he survived by his grandkids and great-grandkids. So that's the tale of Bill Post, the Pop-Tart pioneer. Pop-Tarts forever. Well, Dads, I think it's time to go. I love you guys so much.
Yes, we love you too, Clementine. Don't forget, we want the best for you.
Yes, yes, yes. We will see you next time.
Yes, yes, yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Don't forget, we are also on YouTube and major podcasting platforms.
Yes, may your sweetness shine.
And your colors glow. Sources for today's broadcast include the New York Times,